Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. This week saw the announcement of the five nominees for the APRA Silver Scroll Award. An award for songwriting, the Silver Scrolls is one of the most sought-after prizes in an industry littered with award ceremonies. APRA's director, Anne Healy, joins me now. And what makes the Silver Scroll different from other awards?
Well, it's a songwriting award. I guess that's what sets it apart from other awards that are out there in the music business. And it really doesn't focus on anything commercial. It's just the very nature of the song that we look at.
I mean, this is kind of the musician's award, isn't it, really? I mean, this is the one that all the musicians look to. It's one thing if you get the best album at the Tuis or the best this or the best that. This is the one that seems to be, you know, most coveted, I think, amongst the... Is that because of the artistry involved?
Yeah, I think it is. It's a peer-voted thing, and I think any award that you get from your peers is always going to be more important than some award that you know, maybe one judge or whoever might present. But I think you're right. It's because it's not a commercial-type thing. It's not based on sales. It's not based on success. Sometimes there are songs in the Silver Scroll, even former winners, that really are kind of almost unheard of. Songs that aren't that popular, but you know, maybe their artistry, maybe their craft is just so perfect that they win the award.
So how are the songs selected? I mean, you say they're chosen by their peers. Is that how they select the nominees are selected in the first place?
Yeah, well, I mean, we get about all this year there was almost sort of 300 songs entered.
Do you enter yourself, do you?
The writers themselves enter, yeah. And then we reduce that number down to 20 by a panel of music writers. So they get together and work out the top 20. And then the top 20 go up onto a website and are voted by APRA members themselves. And so we've had about 600 music writers vote for these top five.
It must be. I mean, talk about, you know, apples with apples, or apples with oranges or what. I mean, you've got Liam Finn, you know, this sort of complex sort of sonic, you know, construction of Liam Finn. You've got the absolute, hallucinogenic Phoenix Foundation sort of songs versus something straight up and punchy like the LMNOP's Baby Come On, which people will probably know from the telecom ad with people doing in the office drinks. I mean, how do you compare that?
It's a subjective. It's always a subjective test, you know. I mean, any songwriting award, or you know, we all have our favourite songs, and yours is going to be different than mine. So we don't pretend that it's anything other than that.
It's just basically what song do I like the best?
Is yeah, that kind of. And who knows what the rules are? You know, who knows why people like other songs? You know.
Because, I mean, I know, for example, from watching that telecom ad a number of times, that LMNOP song, which we'll hear in a few minutes, stays in your head a long time.
It's, you know, and I was quite surprised to see it in there, yet I've spoken to some APRA members who have voted, who said they voted for that song and they would never have expected to vote for it. Yet they looked at the lyrics, they read the lyrics, they listened to the song a few times and yeah, they must have really found it catchy. It's a really catchy tune.
The other, just for completion, there's Anika Moore in there as well, and Op Shop, One Day, which again, big ad song, New Zealand Post song, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's funny, actually.
Friends of mine got married to that song, actually.
Is that right?
That's its place in Kiwi music, sort of, you know.
And really quickly, it kind of has entered the Kiwi vernacular, that song, you know, and advertising, you know, in these days where the music business is a pretty tough place to be, I think bands and music writers and musicians are realising that they need to look wider than simply selling CDs. So they're really fighting for that advertising dollar and licensing their music to corporates that might want to use a song that is actually quite well-loved in New Zealand.
One of the best things about the Silver Scrolls for anyone sort of within the industry is the awards dinner, which has always been quite a salubrious affair. Isn't the first time that probably most musicians get a decent feed all year?
It probably is, yeah.
And one of the features of that is that you get different bands to cover the finalists, and it's always quite a tightly guarded secret, isn't it, as to which bands are going to be covering which finalists.
Yeah, and we'll be doing that again this year. And it is a great night, and the writers, kind of the APRA members, you know, the musicians, really do enjoy themselves. It is a chance for them, you know, not to have to work themselves. It's a chance for them to kind of catch up with with other people in the industry. It's a free night for them, and you know, they get to eat and drink and be extremely merry. But the performances, it's something that my predecessor Mike Chun started, a number of years ago, where we'll take a song and we'll reinterpret it, we'll twist it, we'll, you know, I mean, last year we had an op shop song performed by 8 Foot Sativa, who, for those that don't know, are an extremely kind of industrial loud thrash metal band. Which completely, it was like a cleansing of the audience, you know. It completely freaked them out.
Who won last year?
Last year, the winner was Brooke Fraser.
You're sure about that?
I was just taking me back here.
And what else happens on the night? You have, there's an induction to the Music Hall of Fame?
It's something, again, we started last year, was the New Zealand Music Hall of Fame. I kind of thought that there was no... there's plenty of nods each year to bands that are successful at the Music Awards or at the Silver Scroll, but there's kind of nothing historical. And I think we've now got a musical history that exists and demands that we celebrate it. And there are plenty of people out there that really back in the day, not necessarily that long ago, but who haven't been celebrated the way that we kind of celebrate our artists now. So I think it's a good chance to kind of look back, see where we've come from, and celebrate people that really started it all off. Last year, the first inductee to the Hall of Fame was Jordan Luck. And I kind of thought he personified everything about a rock and roll musician that possibly
that's one way
anyone
of saying
could,
it, isn't it?
could do. And, you know, he's someone that, you know, they've written more hit singles than any band in the country ever. And if any music has entered our lives, when we all get together, maybe a rugby game or a cricket game or whatever, you know, those songs are almost like our national anthems.
And what else happens on the night?
There's a few other awards. We have a contemporary classical award for classical musicians. They don't like to be called classical musicians because much of their music is so unclassical. It's ridiculous.
So it's a contemporary award.
It's a contemporary award.
Which is sort of the opposite of classical.
That's right. Yeah. And it's, no one quite knows what to call it. But it's composed music, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's always a sort of a hotly contested award, and we've kind of recognised and tried to develop Maori songwriting with the Maioha Award for songs using the Maori language.
Right, and so it's on the 10th of September. So up until, is there a public component? I mean, is there any way that the public can influence who's going to win or have their say? Or
not really. I mean, the voting's closed. It's happened now.
Oh, right.
The voting's been up for APRA members only. So it's kind of, you know, an in-house gig to decide who the winner is. And that's happened over the last month. And, you know, now we're just organising the performances. We get assisted by, we engage a musical director to organise those performances because there will be, you know, there's obviously quite a bit of work to do. We get Don McGlashan to come in and we'll kind of be working with us and working with the bands to interpret those songs.
Any plans to televise it or broadcast it in some way?
Not really. No. We kind of like it as a almost... a few years ago, we never even let the media near it. It was something that we wanted to keep in-house and keep quite private because that was the feedback from our members, that they liked the night that the TV cameras weren't there and that they could just really let their hair down and not, get in public. Yeah.
So I guess the only remaining question is, which table am I going to be sitting at this year? No, look, thank you very much for coming along. We look forward to finding out who the winner is in due course. We've managed to find an early sort of demo version of one of the nominees, the LMNOP track Baby Come On, before it was all tidied up, so I thought we'd have a listen to that, shall we?
Great.
Yeah, yeah, ooh, yeah, baby come on. Best way to do it, but a way to do it. come on.
That was Anthony Healy from APRA. That's it for us today. If you missed something, you'd like to hear it again, publicaddress.net/radio. I'm Damien Christie.
I've been Graham Reid.
Thanks to New Zealand On Air. See you next week.
Yeah, but that's